That you are in control.
I have ears to hear,
eyes to see,
and my spirit perceives.
You're about to talk to me.
Amen?
Amen.
A few days ago, I heard the Lord say John chapter 4, but I want you to go into the Passion Translation. So we can blame a few people for that, and we're not going to go there. But John chapter 4, it's headed by an odd comment. A thirsty Savior. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
A thirsty Savior. See, we think Jesus wasn't human.
Living water.
He's the Son of God. You know, he's this and he's that. And he, it's true. But he was living in an earth suit. You got your earth suit?
Yep.
How many times does it make demands?
All the time.
All the time.
Okay, so you ready? The news quickly reached the Jewish religious leaders, known as the Pharisees, that Jesus was drawing greater crowds of followers coming to be baptized than John. Now, you see, I want you to kind of get a glimpse of what God is really trying to make us see, how the human nature has not changed. Okay? The religious leaders are aware of what you're doing and what we're doing. Although Jesus himself didn't baptize, but only his disciples, Jesus heard what was being said and abruptly left Judea and returned to the province of Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. Jesus arrived at the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Wearied by his long journey, wearied. Get a clue. Wearied by his long journey, he sat on the edge of Jacob's well and sent his disciples into the village to buy food, for it was already afternoon. So there was a need for some nourishment. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." She replied, "Why would a Jew man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." It was a no-no. Jesus replied, "If you only knew who I am and the gift that God wants to give you," hear me, "the gift that God wants to give to you. You ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water." The woman replied, "But sir, you don't even have a bucket." I mean, you know, it is so cool to look at this word, and it's living. You ain't got no bucket. What are you doing? What are you doing? And the well is very deep. So her focus is 100% natural. He's on a different shelf. "So where do you find this living water?" she says. "Do you really think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself, along with his children and livestock?" So now listen carefully. She is so focused on the well and the past, she has no clue about a possible future for herself. She's there. She loves the well. She's happy about it. She loves the idea that Jacob was a very famous ancestor. She loves the idea she lives in the area, etc., etc. So she's got everything down pat, comfy. Now watch Jesus as he becomes the one to awaken her inner man. Jesus answered, "If you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them." Do you think she has a clue about what this living water is? I believe from the natural realm, she's still focused on the well. Okay? And the water and how deep it is. So, if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never be thirsty again. So now, she's got a second jab coming at her from the realm of the spirit. That's what I look at.
Right.
Okay? She's just been hit twice.
She probably thinks it's cuckoo, huh?
For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, flooding you with endless life.
Amen.
Yeah. Say it with me.
Jesus gave me
a drink of his water.
A drink of his water.
And it's coming.
To be a gushing fountain
of the Holy Spirit
flooding me
with endless life.
Amen.
Take that one to the bank. That's truth.
Yes.
For her, it's future. For me, it's the past.
Amen.
Oh. Can you hear the grinding going on right now? The soul is having to digest the truth. Okay? I've got living water in me. It's gushing out, and it's giving what?
Life.
Endless life.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Convince me. The woman replied, "Let me drink that water." So she's now catching on. "So I'll never be thirsty again." Whoops! She's back into the natural. Right? That's exactly what we do. And I'm not accusing the woman. I would do the same. And I did the same. "So, let me drink that water. So I'll never be thirsty again. And won't have to come back here to draw water." See me, myself, and I right there, right?
It's all she knows.
Yeah.
That's all she knows.
Right.
It's all she knows. Jesus said, now I love this part because he wants to draw something out of her. Because you know the story. "Go get your husband and bring him back here." "But I'm not married," the woman answered. "That's true," Jesus said. "For you've been married 5 times.
Well, he's showing her that he knows more than she does.
Okay. "For you've been married 5 times, and now you're living with a man who is not your husband." Oh. So she's now preparing herself for crucifixion. I just can imagine what's going on inside, right? "You have told the truth." The woman changed the subject. You hear me? What? The woman changed the subject. "You must be a prophet. So tell me this. Why do your fathers worship God on this nearby mountain? But your people teach that Jerusalem is the place where we must worship. Who is right?" Jesus responded, "Believe me, dear woman, the time has come when you will worship the Father neither on a mountain nor in Jerusalem, but in your heart." Worship in your heart. "Your people don't really know the one they worship. But we, Jews, worship out of our experience. For it's from the Jew that salvation is available. So now he's drawing her to adjust her mentality, her soul. From now on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with a right heart. So, again, going from the natural, going into the?
First the natural,
the Spirit. Yeah, going right into the realm of the Spirit, and she awakens, right? For God is Spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshipers who adore him in the realm of the Spirit and in truth. Carefully listen to that one again. He longs to have sincere worshipers who adore him in the realm of the Spirit and in truth. If you digest this, it'll change your tomorrow. See, he's presenting her with a future that she's never seemed even feasible. So I'm positive that she definitely was moved. The woman said, "This is all confusing. But I do know that the Anointed One is coming, the true Messiah." Get your seatbelt on. "And when he comes, he will tell us everything we need to know." You got your seatbelt buckled up?
Yep.
Jesus said to her, "You don't have to wait any longer." I love it. "The Anointed One is here speaking with you. I am the one you're looking for." Yahoo! God, you guys should be excited too.
Could you imagine? I mean, could you?
You know, I can live this one because I have lived it.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
I can see how she is like, "Oh my God, you've got to be kidding me."
Is it true?
I'm just going to say this because I got a flashback. When Irene and I were going out together, which is many years ago.
So what? So what?
We went to see quite a few, once in a, I would say once every couple of weeks if we could, we'd get to go to see a movie, okay? And she had her eyes on a few actors and I had my eyes on a few actresses, okay? And so fast forward, we're married, we've got two kids, blah, blah, blah. And because I'm on a business trip, I'm in New York for 3 days and doing some buying for the business, etc. And of course, at night, sometimes I would catch a couple of guys that I knew, one of my salesmen or whatever, and we'd go see a show, live Broadway. Cool. Well, there was one with Debbie Reynolds. And of course, she was in my eye when I was a kid. But you don't stop being a kid just because you're 30 or 40. Okay? Even at 80, you still have some kid
vision.
Come on now.
That's right.
So there's hope for you guys. Yeah. Come on now. So, I go see a live play. I forgot the name of it. It doesn't matter. But at the end of the show, I had bought a book that they give you at the beginning, and so on and so forth. So they said, if you want to go and have your program signed, autographed, you can go. Well, of course, she's on stage, and it's kind of cool, but, you know, it's normal. So now we have to wait in line if you want to have it signed. Well, I got plenty of time, so I stood in line. Well, they literally, she's so tiny. You know, of course, she's... Hopefully she's with the Lord today. But they had a cloak counter, you know, where you take off your jacket and so on. So they actually had her sitting on top of that so that she would be at your eye level. And I can remember getting home, and I'm going to the hotel, and I'm holding my paper, and I've got this mental thinking going on. Did this really happen? Did I really have Debbie Reynolds, you know, autograph in this paper? And I get to the hotel and I sit down and I look at it, and you know what? I was dealing with unbelief. Watch now. At that moment, his disciples returned and were stunned to see Jesus speaking with a Samaritan woman. Did I speak to Debbie Reynolds? Yes. Was there a short conversation? Yes. Did I survive it? Yes. Was it equal to this? Absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely not. And you know, you've all had experiences that you hold in a special place. Mm-hmm. Okay? I also got Lauren Bacall's autograph at one point. So, you know, those were memories. This woman's got five husbands, so she's got some memories. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, giggle. It's the truth. Okay? Yet, none of them dared ask him why or what they were discussing. All at once, the woman left her water jar and ran off to her village to tell everyone. That is an addition that brings clarity. She's so excited, she's like me. I got home, look, Irene, look it. She says, yeah, but you didn't bring Pat Boone. So, anyway, we didn't get even on that one. Come and meet a man at the well who told me everything I've ever done. He could be the one we've been waiting for. Notice she puts down could be.
Doubt,
unbelief, yeah, is now visible.
Too good to be true.
Too good to be true. Just like me. Looking at the autograph. Did it really happen?
And is there really something better than what I've been experiencing?
Yes.
Well, hold on. Fasten your seatbelt.
Hearing this, and the people streaming out of the village to go see Jesus. Now, this is cool, okay? Because it's no longer a ministry of one-to-one.
Right.
It's a ministry to a town. The harvest is ready. Verse 31. Then the disciples began to insist that Jesus eat some of the food they brought back with them, saying, "Teacher, you must eat something." But Jesus told them, "I have eaten a meal you do not know about." Total victory in the realm of the spirit cancels the war games from the soul and the body. Puzzled by this, the disciples began to discuss among themselves, did someone already bring him some food? So guess where their minds are? No different than the woman.
Yep.
All right? To clarify, Jesus spoke up and said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and bring it to completion." As the crowd emerged from the village, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why would you say the harvest is another 4 months away? Look at all the people coming. Now is harvest time. Their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain, ready for the harvest. Everyone who reaps these souls for eternal life will receive a reward. Both those who plant spiritual seeds and those who reap the spiritual harvest will celebrate together with great joy."
Yes.
And this confirms the saying, "One sows the seed and another reaps the harvest."
Amen.
"I have sent you out to harvest a field that you haven't planted, where many others have labored long and hard before you. And now you are privileged to profit from their labor and reap the harvest." I could say that's today. "Many from the Samaritan village became believers in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Then they begged Jesus to stay with them. So he stayed there for 2 days, resulting in many more coming to faith in him because of his message. The Samaritan said to the woman, "Now, we've heard him ourselves. We no longer believe just because of what you told us, but we're convinced that he really is the true Savior of the world." Jesus returned to Galilee. And I could go on. You see, my concept is the church right now is looking. Is the harvest ready? Are you ready to watch God's word come alive?
Yes.
As I read this, I was thinking of me and you, Gail, on Tuesday morning. The harvest was ready. Okay? And it was, you know, added to that night. Are you ready for what God has prepared? Or are we focused on what we believe is the timing for different things? Jesus was really not, let's say, maybe fully understanding why he went to that particular well. He had a press from God, go. Just like you, young lady, you had to go to the gas station for $2 worth of gas. Okay? Which is silly. In the natural realm right now, you know, that took courage, girl. Okay? And you obeyed. And I'm not singling you out. I'm saying the same thing as this woman here. You obeyed. Jesus said, go. Holy Spirit said, do. And you did.
And obedience brings blessings.
Exactly. But you see, how many of us still argue?
Interfere.
And we are the enemy. Why? Soul, mind, will, and emotions. I'll wait. Oh, I'll get it then. I've been there, okay? Mm. I try not to be there anymore, but I've been there. So God's plan for you and I is to be ready for the harvest, and when he presents the situation, there will be fruit. Believe me, there will be fruit. Do you have something to add? Yeah?
No, I just noticed who was here. I said, wow, thank you, Lord.
Okay. Can you lift your hands to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, I'm going out into the world today. And there might be some harvest available. All it takes is me to have the grace to obey. Give it to me and I'll obey. And the courage to carry and speak.
No matter who it is,
no matter how old they are, or how young they are,
they all need Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, that's the message that I have, guys.